Blanco Tech, June 14, 2006.
Ain't this here Blind Cow Tech?
Man.
Oops.
It's not Blind Cow Tech.
Cow!
It's Blind Cool Tech.
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 It's Blind Cool Tech.
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 Hey y'all, how you doing? Is that not a great intro? Another masterpiece from the studios of Kai Zhang. Thanks, Kai. That's an awesome piece. And got some feedback we're going to be playing from Kai and others later on. In fact, this show is actually a result of a user comment or a listener comment.
Hi, Larry. I'm trying to get a guide dog, so what are some of the responsibilities that come with a guide dog? Thank you. Bye.
So what are the, good question, what are the responsibilities of being a guide dog user, owner, handler? There certainly are a few of them. Obviously, you have to be able to take care of a dog. It's a two-way relationship. That dog will guide you happily, but you have to be able to care for its basic needs. You have to, I think the dog's, probably the most important thing in the dog's mind is feeding it. And that doesn't mean just feeding it anything. You know, it's part of your responsibility to maintain a well-behaved dog, and food is part of that responsibility, part of that, what am I trying to say here? I guess what it boils down to is you can't just do like you may have done when you were a kid and toss table scraps over to your dog or whatever. You don't want to do that with a guide dog. Because think about it. You know, a guide dog has to go into restaurants, public areas. You don't want him sniffing on people's food, looking on the tables for a little scrap, a little handout. So the very first thing is food. Most of the guide dog schools, as far as I know, recommend using a dry food. And I do too. In fact, I use Purina One or Ukanuba, either one. I prefer Purina One or Purina Pro Plan. I believe they're pretty much the same thing. And the dogs seem to like it quite well. So when it comes to feeding, I think one of the things that you have to be cognizant of is timing. You know, a dog is a, or most dogs are a creature of habit. So if you get up at 6 o'clock and feed that dog every day, you know, they're pretty well going to be expecting their food at 6 o'clock. And that doesn't mean you can't sleep in on the weekends or whatever, but you know, if you happen to be one of these people that gets up at 6 one morning and noon the next, that's not really, that, you know, that can throw a lot of dogs off. And they, you know, they look forward to that time. Like I said, especially if you've got a lab, that eating is, I've heard the story. Little joke about labs having two brain cells go directly from their nostrils to their brain. And that's not far from the way they act. Now, a lot of people feed their dogs twice a day, and it probably is actually a lot better to feed them twice a day. But in my particular case, I have pretty much always just done it once a day. Of course, you feed them twice as much. And the reason I do that is because I know that I could not be reliable at feeding them twice a day. The morning's fine, but I really never know what I'm going to be doing, you know, after work or toward the end of the day. Good boy. Good dog. We're getting ready to cross Frankfort Avenue. The thing, too, along the same lines with food is water. You've always got to keep water readily available for your dog. At home and at your work. Now, you know, I don't carry water with me when I'm walking home or going on a trip or anything, but I do bring the water bowl. You know, I used to not even bring a water bowl, but I always pack it up now. I always pack up a water bowl and a toy so that Jake will feel at home when he's on the road somewhere. Which reminds me, we never really finished up our discussion of traveling and packing. We'll have to do that at some point. So, food and water are your two first things. I mean, that's going to keep your dog alive. And but once you get past the basics like that, you have to have a way for the dog to eliminate the waste from that food and water. So you want to, you know, take your dog out at least 3 or 4 times a day. And I know that's hard, especially for you people that may live in an apartment where it's, you know, it can take a few minutes to get out to where you have a place to take the dog. I know while we were up in Manhattan, I had a pretty good time even finding a place to let Jake relieve himself, and it turned out to be, half a block away, probably. But thing was, we were, you know, 8 floors up. So it wasn't the most convenient thing in the world. It wasn't as nice as at home. You can just open the door and let him out. Now, that brings up another point. Another responsibility that has to do goes very closely with eliminating the waste is keeping that picked up. So, you know, whether you have to hire someone to come in your backyard or you can do it yourself, or, you know, probably the easiest way or the most reliable way is always take the dog out on the leash and pick up right then and there when they do it. Now, not only is that sanitary for humans, but it's not good practice to leave waste laying around, even for other dogs. That's the primary way that worms get spread. And, well, probably a lot of other parasites and diseases as well. Good boy, little buddy. And speaking of good boy, little buddy, that's another responsibility that every guide dog handler has, and that is to provide your dog with feedback. Whether it's positive feedback, like good praise, or negative feedback to let them know that they're doing a behavior that's unacceptable. I think I mentioned in a earlier show that once you've had a dog for a year, or even usually a lot less than that, you very, very rarely ever will correct the dog again. You may, I mean with the leash correction anyway, you may give them a verbal warning sometimes, and that actually is even very rare. I think some of you have heard me use the correction word on Jake a time or two, but certainly not very frequently. So it's very important to give that dog feedback, both for your sake and his. You know, the dog is working for praise. He wants to please you. There you go, little buddy. So if you deny that to them, you know, you're making the dog feel insecure, and you're not doing yourself any favors either. Another responsibility that you have as a dog handler is to do obedience with your dog. You have to make that dog mind you. You have to be the boss. That is the worst thing you can do with a guide dog, is to let them be the boss. They want to know who's the boss. Well, actually, worse than letting them be the boss is being inconsistent. Consistency is probably the number one thing, the number one attribute of a guide dog handler. If you're in a bad mood, you can't take it out on that dog. You have got to remove yourself a little bit from your mood and treat the dog with the same dignity and respect that you always do. So, we were talking about obedience. Good boy. It's recommended to spend 5 to 10 minutes a day going through basic obedience commands with your dog. Now, if you work the dog every day, I wouldn't say that every day is necessary for obedience, because you're actually doing a form of obedience by providing commands and giving the dog feedback during the working process. Good boy, little buddy. Oh, that's it. Get across the street here. Good dog. Along with the feeding, the waste management, the obedience, is grooming. Very, very important. You need to brush that dog sometimes every day. More commonly, 3 times a week is usually pretty adequate. It depends on the time of the year and how badly the dog's shedding. You really don't want to have a dog that leaves hair everywhere they go. That's not, that's not putting your dog in the best light. Because nobody wants to give you a ride and you get out of the car and there's a big pile of hair on the floor there, including a cab driver. So keep that in mind. And I keep saying one of the biggest responsibilities, but I guess they're all important and big responsibilities. But probably the biggest one, and I've said this before, is that you need to work that dog. One of the things they tell us at the Seeing Eye, where I've obtained all five of my guide dogs over the years is that using a dog is very much like learning to do a sport or some kind of physical, a sport, yeah, like skiing or roller skating. You know, in order for you to get good at it and make it effortless, you have to do it often. And that can mean some real lifestyle changes. In fact, I know ever since I started using a dog, and even before, actually, come to think of it, I have always tried to find accommodations or housing that is in walking distance of the place where I will be going. So, for instance, when I was in college, I found a place that was about a mile or so from the university. And that way, you know, it's not a special effort to take the dog out. You know, you're actually using the dog on an everyday basis in a real life situation. Hi, little buddy. Another big responsibility for using a guide dog, being a guide dog handler, is the health of your dog. And this is a responsibility both in terms of, being committed to keep the dog's shots up to date and with regular checkups, but this also involves a financial commitment. And I've heard that some schools will offer to help with veterinary bills. I don't really have any details on that. I honestly don't think the Seeing Eye does, but I'm not sure about that. It's important, though. I know when I noticed the dog I had previously, Freddy, I noticed that, well, I suspected that he was having a little bit of trouble with his vision. So, I actually noticed it a couple of different ways. I was teaching a class next door to the printing house at the School for the Blind in the evenings. And I noticed as we would leave the class and go down the stairs, Freddie was putting his nose right on each stair as we went down. And somebody behind me says, "Oh, the light's off in here." Well, that's what it was. He just couldn't see. So he was, I guess, using his whiskers and his nose to kind of feel his way down those stairs. And I had never seen a dog do that before. And, you know, I've been using a dog for well over 20 years. So that kind of made me a little concerned, but it really was just that one situation. So I never really thought too much about it. But then, probably about a month before I actually went and had him checked out, good boy, I noticed that he was having a little bit of trouble in two other areas. One of those was clearance on the right side. Now, a lot of dogs will stay to the left side just to avoid the whole issue of clearing you on the right. Let's check out this track. fact, when I had my first German Shepherd, I noticed that he really hugged the left side of everything. And I asked the instructor about that, and you know, that was the answer, that they're really avoiding the whole issue of having to clear your body for objects that are on the right side. But I noticed Fred was starting to kind of tap me, or, you know, just barely run me into a, or scrape me, I guess, into a wall or other things on the right side. And, you know, I did correct him and had him do them over, and it really got to be a situation where I started suspecting it was a vision thing. But then really what convinced me was a couple of afternoons walking home in a bright sunlight situation. We would just be walking down the sidewalk and he would stop out of the blue for no reason that I could discern. And later come to find out, I think what it was the glare from the sidewalk was temporarily blinding him, and he didn't want to just walk on without knowing where he was going. Well, the seeing eye works with canine ophthalmologists apparently all around the country, and they sent a letter to me stating that there was an ophthalmologist in Cincinnati, which is really not much more than an hour from Louisville, who would examine your dog for no charge. And I had these letters in the past and never had taken advantage of them because there never had been a problem. But I know there were some Labrador retrievers with some eye problems, and I knew that, well, I suspected that Freddie was having a problem too, so I made arrangements to get to Cincinnati. And it's a good thing I did, because the doctor told me that I needed to retire that dog right then and there, and I did. You know, and that was another responsibility of mine. I couldn't make that dog work when he actually felt inadequate to do the job. And that's why he was stopping. So it turned out Freddie had a condition called uveitis, which turns out is not that uncommon in golden retrievers, which is what Freddie is. Another responsibility that you have as a guide dog owner, handler, is, oh man, I lost it. Oh, yeah, you have to, take some time out of your life hopefully only every decade or so, as your dog reaches the end of his comfortable working life. I have worked a dog up to the age of 13. But, you know, when you see that your dog is starting to have trouble with going up or down stairs because of arthritis, or, well, in the case, like in Freddie's case, the vision, it's your responsibility to retire that dog. And you have to take time out of your life to go back for training. The training the first time is usually 4 weeks, and then subsequent trips back to obtain a new dog are from 2 to 3 weeks, usually 3 weeks. But, you know, you have to, if you're working, you have to have enough time saved up for vacation or sick or both. Sick time. You have to have enough money saved up to be able to continue with your household expenses as you leave the workplace. And, you know, if you're on paid vacation, that's fine. But you also have to have, you know, the wherewithal to make arrangements at your workplace to have your duties covered temporarily, depending on your job, of course. Hey there. Good doggy. That's my buddy. That's the Honey Brothers coffee shop there. There's always people out enjoying a cup of good java. Good boy, little buddy. So I hope these few listings of responsibilities give you a bit of an idea of what's involved. I won't say the downside of owning a dog, but things that you need to know that that you're going to have to do. And it was a very...
Hello.
Hey. Very thoughtful and insightful of you to ask that and realize that before you make the commitment to get a dog. You know, it's interesting too. What is it that makes people... Wow, another train? Want to use a dog? Well, in my case, I saw a friend of mine when I was in college, had a dog, and I really admired the way he got around. Some of you may know him, Gary Forsythe. We were both at UALR together back in the 80s. And he's actually living in Las Vegas now. I've been out there to visit him a couple times, in fact. There's another train. I'll be darned. Let's catch this one, too. Going the opposite way. Just one track there. Tell he's just getting started too, because that engine is pulling hard. And that's odd, he's not ringing his little bell on the engine either. But yeah, I'd see Gary walking around. And also there was a professor at UALR named Catherine Schneider, who she was a psychology professor. She was a blind lady, and she was using a guide dog as well. And it just amazed me how both of them were able to walk at a normal pace and avoid obstacles and, you know, just exuded confidence, both of them did. So it actually took me about a year debating whether I was up for the responsibility part of using a dog before I decided to apply for one as well. And I am glad to say that it's a decision that I have very rarely ever regretted. I've had the dogs do some embarrassing things, but I've never actually regretted making that decision. And that, you know, that has been 25 years ago. You know, I consider myself a fairly young man, but when I was the senior person at the in class when I got Jake in terms of the number of years using a dog. That was a bit of an eye-opener there. So, you know, what is it that makes you want a dog? Well, the ability to travel independently, of course, is everyone wants that. I think one of the things I enjoy the most about it, though, is that you can get into a comfort zone with a dog where you really don't have to pay an excruciating amount of attention to what you're doing. Now that you cannot do with a kitten, or at least I couldn't. I had to make sure I used proper cane technique every step, because as sure as I didn't, you know, there would be an obstacle there. In fact, after I found out I was going to have to retire Fred, the seeing eye was going to fly Fred back up there so that they could examine him as well. And I was using a cane to walk to work, and I had forgotten what concentration and abilities you really have to be able to have with a cane. So one of the most appealing things to me is to leave the driving to Jake, because he's a good driver. Hello, buddy. So I often will walk either to or from work and just put my mind around a problem or think about anything and not have to totally concentrate on the travel aspect of the commute. Good boy, little buddy. We were walking home yesterday, and there was a couple little kids at the corner over by my house with the lemonade stand set up. It was kind of cute. I hadn't seen that in years and years. I hope they'll be there today. Maybe we can interview them. Well, the other day, when I was giving credit and admonishing myself for not being more attentive to doing that, I knew I'd leave off a bunch of people, and I did. Tom Schaefer is a part owner in an internet service provider company here in Kentucky. I'm not sure if he's in other states as well. They are donating server space and bandwidth for Blind Cool Tech. And you know, when he first approached me, I said, "Tom, are you sure you know what you're getting into here?" Because I could see, even within the first few weeks, that the bandwidth for doing what I really wanted to do was not going to be something that made some of these options like Libsyn a viable alternative for me. They usually charge you by the amount of bandwidth that you use. You know, how many megabytes or gigabytes do you get to send out per month? And I don't even know what the number is right now, but it's astonishing about how much data we are actually moving. So I really, really appreciate that, Tom, and just can't thank you enough. And I'm sure that the Blind Cool Tech listeners also appreciate the fact that you're getting some decent download speeds. Well, I think I told y'all the story that I actually had started this podcast out as, putting it up on the APH server, and it quickly, well, by August, I think it was, July or August, you know, it had brought the servers there down to the point where, you know, it was affecting everybody in the company. I kind of got a bad rep for that. I still get phone calls if the network is really slow or the not working correctly, you know. Larry, you doing those podcasts again? But no, we had to quickly move away from that, and what we did was moved over to ourmedia.org, O-U-R-M-E-D-I-A, and that worked out real well, except for two things. I really didn't like the way you had to get the files up there, and the transfer speeds weren't what they could be. They were okay. They're about double what they were there now using explorations.net. Good boy, little buddy. There we go. Also want to thank, I mean quite profusely, Shetan Bakru for setting up, administering, and moderating, and totally taking care of the Blind Cool Tech listserv. And if you are interested in some good discussion with some very intelligent and capable people, you may wish to consider joining that list. It's a fairly high traffic list. The nice thing I like about it is that people there, you know, realize that it's a high traffic list, so they don't clutter it up with a bunch of messages like, I agree, or LOL. And you know, you have to face the fact, when you're getting, you know, 50 or 100 messages a day from the list, those really don't make for a pleasurable experience, let's put it that way. Also, I want to thank very much each and every one of you who records these podcasts, takes the time out to do that, and to share your knowledge and your experience and your likes and dislikes, your opinions with the rest of us. It means a lot. It's a valuable service, and I really hope to work on some ways to increase the value via the website. By the way, if you do wish to subscribe to the list, check out the contact link at blindcooltech.com. Well, that's going to do it for this edition. Got a little user feedback, listener feedback, and you'll be hearing that, the music of Andre Lewis and Marcus Quinzer. And let's see if anybody's in here to... Hey, yo.
Hello there, Larry and Joel.
Hey, Fredsters.
Tech listener. This is Gary Anderson. And I'm just calling to say that I enjoy all of the Blind Cool Tech podcasts and all those who contribute to them. And congratulations to you, Larry, on setting this up and getting it going. And I look forward to being a contributor myself in the very near future. I am working as a adaptive technology technician in the state of Massachusetts. So take care, keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Hello, Larry. This is Buddy in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm wondering about the R09. I'm going to get one here in a few months. About the card. What's the biggest card you can put in it? I guess, and is there a difference in speeds of flash cards? I think the battery lasts 4 hours. That's better. Is it 4 gig, 6 gig, 2 gig. And if you recorded it, let's say 192 MP3, or let's say 250 MP3. Let's say 192, that'll be great. 16-bit be fine with me, that's enough. With the binaurals, how much can you get on that card? I can't seem to get my volume control turned down in my iRiver. I don't know how to record on it now. I can't seem to get the mic level. I went with a joystick over 3 times, hit enter, and then 4 times, and hit enter with the joystick. It doesn't turn the mic level on the external microphone down, but it does do a fantastic job, but I'm looking forward to the Edirol. And another thing about the Edirol, the reverb, I guess, is only just for playback, not recording. And it makes a good MP3 file. Sounds good. You had a time with Jake when you did that Edirol. That was I was getting worried about him. I hope he's okay. You take care in Louisville. It's warm here in Nashville. Have a good day. Thanks a lot, Larry. Appreciate you. You are the Adam Curry of blind people. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
I bet you thought I was gone forever, hmm? Hello, Blind Cortec. This is Kai. And yes, believe it or not, I have not disappeared. I've actually just been taking a break away from the audio project to do a bit of writing on the novel that I've been working on. In proper fashion, I'm going to submit another BCT intro and hope that this one's as well loved as the other ones are. Larry, you made a very interesting statement on your podcast going to work the other day. I'd like to play it back for you now with a few embellishments and see what everybody thinks. It kind of creeped me out because, well, you'll see.
Also, if you look on the credits section of the webpage at blindcooltech.com, good boy, little buddy. How about there is a dumpster there that's been there for a month. And I tried moving it once. Well, it's not a dumpster, it's just one of our big 90-gallon trash cans here that the city distributes. And there's something rotten in it, too. I'm over here imagining it's a dead body or something. I should call. They have a thing in Louisville called City Call.
Operator.
In fact, I think you just dialed 311. Gee, maybe we could make a podcast out of that, huh?
You see what I mean? Either Larry must have managed to get that dumpster off the website, or with my JAWS 4.51, I can't access it. Maybe he put the dumpster on through Flash. Anyway, I just had to poke fun at you, Larry, because, we gotta laugh here and there, don't we? Keep up the great work, Larry. I always love the walks to and from work. And yes, I might not have been talking very much, but I always listen. I've been keeping up to date. And actually, I just recently got back on the list. I tried to get on once, but I guess my application didn't go through. It did this time though, so expect to hear from me soon on the list. You can't escape from me now that you've asked me. Take care and keep cool.
Hello, everybody. This is Beth from Newport News, Virginia. We're supposed to get storms today, just listening to the weather again. And nice to hear everybody's comments. I wonder if the person who called from Greece is the longest distance call that we've ever gotten on BCT. That would be really interesting to find out. Happy first anniversary for BCT. Larry, I'm sure glad you started this. And you're right, the technology is awesome. You were talking about podcasting, and I think the word you were looking for taking two different words and making one word out of it is palindrome, P-A-L-I-N-D-R-O-M-E. I didn't look that up, but I think that's the word. And one thing, I'm not doing this yet. I plan to in the future. Freedom Box has a way that you can make your own blog. Now, I'm not sure if that would be considered a podcast, but you can actually, without using Juice or anything except Freedom Box software, you can create and publish your own blog and make it publicly available, not just to the Freedom Box group. If anybody's doing that, it would be really cool to know some details about it. And your New York experiences sound really awesome. Glad your speech went well, Larry. And I couldn't understand what the cabbie said either. But at least he didn't give you too hard a time. I mean, he let you in the cab. And that was cool if you got to meet the BCT gang. And as far as exercising, I'm bad about exercising. I'm not doing that right now. I know I should, but it would be neat to hear what other people do. And let's see, I'm looking at my notes here. Sarah's orchestral piece, high school orchestral piece, was really, really cool. They did really well. Larry, you were talking about dogs working in the heat. Is there any way that you could take water with you to either splash Jake's face with or give him a little bit of a drink or something? And you need to take water for you, too. It would be neat to hear if people are using the Braillian Braille display, the PacMate Braille display with a computer, the Portico computer, and the EasyLink 12. That would be interesting to if you could do demos, guys, of those things on BCT. I am doing some research into computers and displays, and so that would really be helpful. And thank you to Robert Carter for doing his two, one on the new GW microcomputer and one on the Beyond Sight computer. Those are really helping me very much. Let's see, what else did I have in my notes? Interesting about how dogs work around obstacles, and yeah, do another traffic traffic podcast, Larry, at some point. And I guess the reason that you can't trust pedestrians all the time is they're not looking, paying attention either to where they're going. As drivers tend not to a lot. Okay, the New York traffic must have been really, that must have been an experience and a half. And I commend you and Jake for handling that dog incident on the way home that day when those, I guess it was two little scrappy dogs. That could have been a real serious issue, and Jake didn't even bark. I think I would have barked if I'd been Jake. And sorry that your recorder ran out of batteries at the BCT convention. Larry, but at least you did get something. Well, that's it for now, folks. So everybody have a good one. Stay cool as possible, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Hello, Larry. This is Jim Fiddler. Just wanted to send you a quick little message to say congratulations and happy first birthday to Blind Cool Tech. Republic of Avalon Radio just turned a year old not that long ago. And boy, it's amazing when you think back over the past year, all the people, all the comings and goings, and all the folks we've met, including each other, and just to consider the whole podcasting thing and how many doors it's opened up to people in general, and of course in the blind community, all these submissions that people have sent into Blind Cool Tech, demonstrating various bits of hardware and software, and all the sort of space casts, and inviting each other in to their homes and their lives. Absolutely wonderful stuff, and of course it's all very much grassroots. These bits of software and hardware and everything are being demonstrated by real people for other real people. And it's absolutely magnificent. So, from myself and Lillian, and all the listeners of Republic of Avalon Radio, here is to Larry and to Blind Cool Tech. I raise a glass and wish you many, many more years of BCT.
Hey guys, it's Beth from Newport News, Virginia. And Larry, I really enjoyed the recording you did today with the Edirol R09 and the Church Audio Mic. By the way, are those your favorite mics now? There may be more on, I believe somebody else did some stuff describing the Church Audio, but if you could kind of describe what you like about them, anything you don't like about them, you know, just so we could sort of get a better idea. But boy, it sure sounded good. And there was no clipping, Larry. That train was awesome. I felt like I was there. And there was never any clipping with the traffic or anything. And occasionally there has been. Not that I care, but it's, you know, I'm just saying that to show how good that R09 is. And as far as the website goes, I like it just the way it is. For BCT. I really do. I mean, it is really neat. I don't find it to be cluttered or hard to deal with at all. So, I don't see anything to improve. But I will be interested to see what you decide to do with it, if anything. All right, well, I believe that is it from hot Newport News, Virginia, as of right now. My AC just came on. Have fun with the pool, Larry. And everybody stay cool, and we'll talk to you later on. So have a good one, guys, and bye for now.
Hello, Larry. Buddy, Liverman in Asheville, North Carolina. I had an interesting conversation with iRiver America. You might want to post this. The SP-899 is capable, before the firmware update, of 44.1 and 320 kilobytes per second. I asked the engineer, and he said he was looking at the chart, and it wouldn't sample at that high bit rate. He didn't know why, but when you change with the firmware update to make it a mass storage device, it drops it to 128 or 96 or whatever it is, but it does, but it is capable of that. Blind folks couldn't use it if we had it otherwise, but it goes up to 320. And it wouldn't leave you very much room to record with a gig, but that was an interesting bit of information. I'd like Neil to do more train podcasts, of course. I'd like to hear more podcasts on with sound and industrial machinery and that kind of, you know, machinery and industrial sound. And also like to hear more microphone stuff. Also, I'd like to hear more about the NRO R09 and the investigations. I just got to listen to one about the R1. Looks like I'm going to get one of those R09s pretty soon. But I'm happy with my iRiver, and I know how to record on it. But I thought you'd like to know this bit of information. You can call iRiver at 1-800-399-1799. It'll give you the option for the FP series and talk to tech support. And that's what they told me, 320 at 144.1. I bet that'd be eating the heck out of that card. But that Edirol sounds like a great player. The R09. You'll be hearing a podcast from me real soon. Keep up the good work, and you are the Adam Curry of the blind community. Thanks a lot, Larry. You and Rob Meredith do a great job. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Chris Temple from Arlington, Madison. Hello to all you blind cool tech listeners. This is Larry. I just listened to Ray's podcast. Loving his church audio microphones, and you know, to listen to the whole broadcast just gets to a lot of crackling at the end. But what I don't understand is why would you want to record yourself taking a bath? To me, it's a highly personal thing. And then again, I suppose that you wanted to try the microphones, but why would you want to take a chance ruining them? I don't understand that. I really don't. But anyway, I just thought I'd leave a comment. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Hello, Larry. This is Buddy in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm going to keep my voice down because it's late. I think you should post this to the website. I've got my river figured out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Man, it took how long? I'm going to do a podcast, and I'm going to submit it tomorrow. We're going to ride the bus to work, and we're going to walk. We're going to be using the iRiver 8 FP899 and the binaural microphone. Still going to buy me an Edirol. I heard that report. It works great. It's a little tricky to circumvent, but I got it. So now, you won't get any more stupid messages. I'm just going to use the binaurals and not worry about the internal microphone. I do wish iRiver had fixed it so that you could just unplug it and go with the internal microphone if you want to use it. But, man, that's wonderful. Now I got to find out how to get to the internal microphone. Once I do that, I'll be in good shape. Thank you. Have a good evening. Looking forward to hearing this podcast. Thank you for putting that Edirol on there. Having a good website. You are the Adam Curry of the blind community. I've been listening to podcasts all. I listened to Donald Ball's podcast already. And I listened to your latest feedback. And I decided, I put the iRiver up for a long time. I said, I'm going to be dealing with it. No, I've invested in it. I'm going to quit. By the time I get it, Rockbox will have one figured out. Thank you, Larry. Talk to you later, man. About time. Good God, I never had anything frustrate me so much. It took 6 months to figure it out. I couldn't grasp the concept. I don't know. I couldn't figure out. Nobody told me where to go with the joystick, and I wasn't sure. I don't know. I had a hard time grasping that concept, but I got it. So, we'll hear something tomorrow. Thanks a lot, Larry. And I even got it back to MP3 mode, so. It's really simple once you just go right three times. I thought you had to go into control and all this. Like iRiver told me, you just go once to the right for FM, once to the right for internal microphone, and once to the right for external, and once to the right again for MP3. Now, if all the other rest of the menus were that simple. Thanks. Bye-bye. Hello, Larry. This is Buddy Lieberman in Asheville, North Carolina. I know you're busy, and I know you got a lot on your mind, a lot of things to do. Sometimes could you and Roger Smith go back through the menu? I don't mean go back to the menu and do anything. You've done that already. Go back through the menus of your iRiver and turn the AGC on under voice or external microphone and record it and see what the difference is. I'm going to experiment with the AGC on and off. I think I'm going to give my wife the Olympus. It's easy to use. I'm not impressed by that milestone. I was going to buy one, and it gives you such limited kilobytes per second and such little for that much money. No, I'll pay more for the Adderall. It's $1,000 even, and a good microphone. But if you don't mind, go through that iRiver. I think it's under. I believe it's under. Recording external microphone. Yeah. Line in external microphone. AGC was set to off. Turn it on and find a loud noise. And Larry, that traffic noise may get on people's nerves. I love it. I think it's wonderful. It adds a background. It's not music, but I like the sound effects and noise anyhow. Leave it on there. It sounds good. Hope you have a good weekend. Look forward to my podcast. I will FTP it up to your website from the iRiver. Take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Hello, Larry. Hello, Blind Cool Tech. This is Buddy Lieberman in Asheville, North Carolina. I've been looking at rockbox.org, and that's a complicated web page. I'm just wondering, has anyone done a podcast? Or about Explorer. I mean about Rockbox and the firmware update. I wonder if they're ever going to do the FP899. Probably more for the iPod, first and second generation, maybe the 20 gig and the Nano. I'm going to try to experiment and get my iRiver to work with my external microphone, and it'll maybe do some sightseeing tours. I've got one that I recorded at the lake with my dad on the boat. It came out pretty good. I did it with my Olympus and my microphone. It came out really well. I may submit it in a couple of days. I may edit it a little bit, and I'll try to send it as an MP3. It's a whatever. I think that the Olympus 2 makes it a WMA file. But I'm going to try tomorrow. I'm going to take my iPod, my iRiver to work and get them to, technical support to help me to get it to where I can record with an external microphone and do some podcasts. But maybe you'll find a train one of these days, Larry. And I'm going to be doing some sightseeing tours at the Governor Moorhead School alumni. And we're going to be on a bridge, and we're going to be doing in July the 21st, 22nd, 23rd some trains. And some other exciting events. Just because I haven't done one yet doesn't mean it's not in the works. Take care. And good to hear you on that. That was a good thing about XP you did. I like that one. I listened to that a while ago. Thanks a lot, Larry. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hey, guys. I don't believe I said these two things. How is the problem with the neighbor going, Larry? Give us an update on that, please. And also, I love the music that you use when you're playing us the comment line messages. Where does that come from? Okay, that's really it. This is my final farewell message for now. Bye.
Hi, Larry. This is Christian in the UK. Just want to say, keep up the great work with the podcast. And hopefully, I'll be putting some more up soon. I think everybody's looking forward to my puppy. Keep up the great work as usual, and hopefully there'll be a lot more people on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to seeing new ones going up there, and it's just a great site. I like the community spirit, and it's fantastic. So, may Blind Cool Tech live on. It's fantastic, the way that what you started out as a site to do with Bookport ended up being something that's completely, shall we say, amazing. I shall leave it there, and I shall post this message, and hopefully I will be putting some more stuff up soon.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.
Blum, 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 blum.